Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today is The Bigger Picture with Michael Rakia. We're going to delve a little more deeply into the spaces between unseen forces, I like to say insane forces, that shape your life. So good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I'm doing okay as the world burns in so many ways. So, being that you're in the UK, you know, I get some stories out of the UK. But it seems like inflation is just as bad there as it is here in the United States. Is that true?
It's rocketing here. The price of everything's going up astronomically. Yeah.
Well, do you think that they use this war as an excuse to bleed us all dry?
Absolutely. I also think that they use the war to detract from what they've done with the so-called pandemic.
Oh, I thought the same thing, because as soon as the war started, all of a sudden, all the restrictions in the United States on the on COVID went away.
Disappeared, as though it never happened.
Like it was never there. So it's interesting how these people's evil minds work. But I remember something you said on the last show, is that evil always reincarnates as evil. You know, these same leaders tend to reincarnate and create even more havoc.
Yes, until they've worked it out of their system, until they've decided that there's a better way to act. They come back exactly as they were before and rise to the surface, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your feeling on what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia?
I feel it's a very complex issue. I feel that we are being directed to think in one way only. And I think there are some very strange things in the Ukraine. I think the emergence of so many bio labs for the start is very strange. And we have been restricted here in that we can't hear what Russia is saying. Now, I'm not defending Russia. I'm not defending Ukraine. But during the Second World War, we were allowed to listen to what Hitler was saying so that we could make our own minds up. But not this time. You are not allowed to listen to anything Russian. And there is a movement against Russians in this country, despite the fact that the government is funded to a great extent by Russian money.
Huh. It is crazy. I'm thinking,
it is insane.
I'm thinking here in America, every time something goes on, whoever is unfortunate enough, like with the virus, you know, with Trump blaming it on the China virus, the Kung Flu virus, the amount of Asian Americans getting assaulted is like 400% more. And I wonder if American Russians are going to go through the same thing.
I sincerely hope not. And all this is going on, and we don't stop to think that we're actually harming people. At what point do we think I don't have the right to harm people? How dare I harm people? How dare I kill people? You know, we've got half the world that is geared into making weaponry to kill people.
Right.
And we're looking for the next opportunity to do so. For goodness sake, we're not here to kill each other. We're here to love each other.
I totally agree. You know, it's interesting. Somebody sent me a video this morning. I guess some guy decided to beat up this little dog, and a bunch of bystanders came by and beat the crap out of him. He ended up getting arrested for animal abuse. But I was more interested in the comments on YouTube. And the comments were very similar along the lines of, wouldn't it be nice if people did this when people were getting attacked?
Yes.
But everybody turns a blind eye, you know, which is really sad. It's like we've lost our humanity.
We have lost our humanity at the minute. Indeed, we have. We seem to have lost our consciences. and the governments seem to have lost their consciences. There's always been corruption at government level, but in past decades there have been some honest people and some decent people and some people who cared about their constituents. All that seems to have disappeared.
I know.
It's just this blanket of power seeking and lust for money and disregard for human life. How did we get to this state?
Well, I don't know if it's just evil people or if it's unseen forces that make people even crazier than they already are.
Well, of course, as we know, like attracts like, and intent attracts intent from the field around us. And so those who are interested only in money and possessions and so-called power, because there isn't any material power at all in reality, are going to attract more of that desire from around them. And so the field is feeding itself negatively at the moment and growing in intensity. Mm. But things like this have a tendency to burn out because they're running on fuel that doesn't last forever. And the only fuel that we need at the moment is the light that we can give out, because that's our true energy source. That's the energy from the divine source that's within us. And, you know, the darkness burns itself out, as it were, eventually, because it has nowhere to go and no means of sustaining itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the talk on the ground in the UK? Do people believe that we are headed for World War III?
From day to day, it changes. You know, one day it's World War III, the next day it's my gas bill has increased. People don't know what to believe because they've been bludgeoned for 2 years and they've been propagandized for 2 years. There's a lot of sad and sorry faces out there. The joy of life has certainly disappeared. Mm. And that's disturbing as well, because we are not here to be in a sad position throughout our lives. We are here to also experience joy and bliss and creativity. And those things have been snuffed out. And the dangerous thing is that those in power think that they will always be in power. Those alive now feel that they will always be alive and always be in power. And that isn't so. We are journeying through this life, and it's a short journey. And it's so sad that they feel that they have to, at all costs, have power and have material objects and have money and have control and control people. Where is it going to get you? That's my question. Where is it going to get you? Do you, of an evening, sit down and think, I'm getting a little older. I wonder what's next. Is there anything next? Who and what am I really? Do those questions never cross their minds? And as they play with their children, do they never think of the harm they're doing to other spirits?
Right, exactly. Well, it goes right back to, you know, a lot of these people truly don't have any human qualities.
No.
So, you know, I look at them as if they're demons, because they have no love, they have no empathy, you know, they just don't care.
No.
You know, I was talking to someone who's got a lot of different illnesses and mentioned about somebody else who was going through a physical challenge. And here was his answer. He says, I don't really care. He says, I only care about myself. And that maybe that's part of the problem, is too many people only care about themselves.
Yes, but in caring just about themselves, they restrict their lives to mere existence, because they are so frightened of anything that they see as threatening their existence that that's all they do, exist. Mm-hmm. They hide in their houses, they don't communicate with others, they cut themselves off from family and from friends, and that is not living. We are each a part of the other. We are supposed to connect with each other. We are supposed to learn from each other. We are supposed to evolve as a result of being with each other. And anything else is not life, it's existence.
Exactly.
That you're just, you're surviving, you're not living.
Right. Well, you know, I know there's a lot of subjects we've covered before that play into what's going on right now. So I want to kind of do a little review. Okay. The state of Oklahoma has, without debate, without any talking about it or anything, just passed an anti-abortion law. The law says that life begins at conception, and it will be a felony if you have an abortion, give an abortion, a felony, and, I don't know, several years in prison. Another state has decided that they will not even allow the pills, the abortion pills, to be sold in their state. So it's as though they want to force women into having children that they don't want or can't afford. And I can't understand that when we have a population problem on this planet. And I remember we had discussed, We had discussed a long time ago that there is no sin in having an abortion. What does Joseph have to say about it?
Joseph, as far as I can remember, Maria, and there's so much material in the 8 books that I can't remember it all at times, but he's never specifically mentioned abortion. And he's never specifically mentioned what we should do about it. I believe the spirit comes into the baby's body at a certain time. The body is a construct of the earth. It has an intelligence of its own. And the intelligence from the spirit comes in to take up that casing at a specific time during the conception, during the birth process. And I think after that point, once the spirit is in there, then the spirit is in there for a reason. And that reason is to go through an earthly life to experience certain things. But until that time, it's as though you're constructing a suit.
Exactly.
Or the spirit.
Exactly.
And so you are not terminating a spirit. You're terminating a process that will allow a spirit to come through. It's a very difficult one. But we should allow such things to be dictated by our own feelings, by our own conscience, by our own perspective. And in every area of life at the moment, whether it's abortion, or whether it's what you should buy, or whether it's whether you should go out or not go out, or whether it's about the medical decisions you're supposed to take because we tell you to take them, every aspect of our lives is being taken over.
Right.
The point where we are nothing more than robots, nothing more than slaves. And we are here to walk our own paths. We are here to develop in a particular way that is best for us according to the experiences that come to us.
Right.
If you take away those experiences, there is no point in us being here. And that's an important point.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no point in us incarnating here, then we will not incarnate here. In other words, if there is no point to civilization and society here, there will be no civilization and there will be no society. It's happened before, it's happening again. And it's happening because of the fall that we've mentioned over the last 12 or 13 years, I think it is, Maria, now.
Right.
We got out of step aeons ago. That memory is still within us. We still think we're right. And we haven't got the courage to walk away from it and try a spiritual way of life. We keep repeating and repeating and repeating. And what's happening now has happened before, perhaps in another guise, but it's happened before. And if we're not careful, it will happen again.
Right.
And if we get to the point where the planet won't sustain, not can't, but won't, decides that it will not support us any longer in this current form, then those of us who haven't evolved sufficiently spiritually, haven't become sufficiently spiritually aware to move into the spiritual realms once we move on from this place, once we die, once we end this journey, then those who haven't made that investigation and absorbed that knowledge of there being something else will go into what we call stasis.
Right.
They will still be spirits,
right,
but they won't be conscious as such. It's like dreaming. And they will wait, and they will wait until the earth has been repaired to an extent that they can come back to complete the arc that they started by incarnating this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll come back, and they might all be pleasant and sweetness and light for a couple of generations, And then, unless they learn, and this time embrace spiritual values and understand who and what they are and why they're here, the whole process will begin again.
Right. Well, I always refer to it as the lack of the sacred. It seems nothing is sacred anymore. You know, we've polluted this planet beyond belief. You know, the oceans, the airs. A lot of doctors are saying that most of the surgeries that they're performing on people, they're finding microplastics inside humans.
Yes, indeed.
And they have no way of getting them out. They have no way of ridding people of that. You know, and I will tell you, you know, I do remember very strongly when we had a discussion on babies and having children, that Joseph had said, basically, why would you bring a perfect soul into this planet? And you know, it's interesting because I must get through to my grandchildren from time to time. But my granddaughter, one of them is getting married, and I asked her about children, and she verbatim said to me, why would I bring a perfect soul into this world?
And don't you feel that with children presently, they are brought into this world as a means of keeping a couple happy, because that's their expectation.
Right.
Not for the sake of a life that they have to nurture and guide and help to evolve, but because they feel that this animated doll that they're going to bring through is going to bring them happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find that it doesn't bring them happiness, and they either abandon it to carers, as happens here an awful lot, or they have another child, because the second one, of course, will guarantee their happiness. And the third one will guarantee their happiness. And I see these poor children, because we have a school at the top of the street, and I see these poor children being trooped up and down every day. And I think, what type of life are they going to have? Surely, as a prospective parent at this time, you have to question, what life will a child that I bring into this world have? What prospects does it have? What freedoms will it have? What spiritual knowledge will it have? Why would I be so cruel as to bring through a soul, as you say?
Right. I think it's very selfish. I actually heard one man say that he has to have a child to carry on after he's gone, so that would be part of him continuing to live through his child. And I'm like, live in what kind of world?
How many lives do we know? I mean, of all the friends we know, the relatives we know, the people we connect with, which of them has had a trouble-free life? Which of them has had a happy life? Which of them has had a life free from pain? And yet, we will bring the child in expecting their life to be different. To go against the grain, to go against the billions of lives that have happened over the centuries. Has any one of those lives been without hardship, without suffering, without pain, without loss? Why bring the soul in to go through those experiences?
Hey, I totally agree. I mean, you know, just looking at the world, you know, not just politically, but environmentally, you know, economically, spiritually, there's so much that is going wrong, okay? And I worry that the future is not going to be a future that I know I don't want to be in. So I can't even imagine, when I think about my grandchildren or their children, if they choose to have, what kind of hellscape they'll be living in.
Yes, it's terrifying.
Yes, it is.
We don't stop thinking about it. You know, what kind of world are we building for our children?
I know. Well, maybe
if we're building the wrong kind of world, what can we do to put it right? And again, it's down to each of us to send in, to bring in the light and to stick to our spiritual principles. Not to be sheep, but to be people who question and to listen to that voice within that says, this is wrong. It needs to be done in a different way, because that's our own voice. That's the voice of our greater self speaking to us and saying, you know better than this. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. If you do nothing, things will continue as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do something. If you do something spiritually, then you individually and collectively have the power to change things.
Absolutely. You know, you talk about in the book, Spaces Between, the importance of having a positive attitude. And, yes. And I'm thinking about, actually, I'm looking at page 211. The viewpoints of souls on earth as they get up in the morning is, I don't have enough money. I don't have a big enough house. I don't have a big enough car. I'm not living in the right area. No one understands me. I don't feel as healthy as I should. And that's the viewpoint a lot of people start their day with. And then you talk about how important it is to flip that and remember. I always like to hyphenate, remember. If they could just remember themselves with their angelic being, with their soul, they would have a totally different attitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember in the days when I began work as a medium and I'd given up my rather desirable job with an advertising agency as a director with all its perks. And my lead guiding influence, we call the Persian gentleman, came through and said, because I was feeling that I'd nothing, I'd no money, I'd no prospects, I didn't know how to expand what I was doing. He said, you have to say, I have everything I need. I have everything I need. And he was quite right. Mm-hmm. Whenever I needed something to pay a bill or whatever the circumstances were, it appeared as long as I believed that it would appear. Because we're created beings. We create the lack by saying, I need this, I need that. We create need by saying, I don't need this, I don't need that. We create security and comfort and the support that we need, again, that terrible word, along our journey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, you know, we also have developed an attachment to things, okay, yeah. Whether it's your home, whether it's your car, whether it's your favorite, I don't know, favorite books, favorite computers, whatever, to the point where we're obsessed with things. You know, I don't know what spending's like where you live, but in America, people just collect things constantly, and then they have to spend extra money to set up security to protect their things. And they even worry about their things when they're dying, you know, who's going to get my book collection? Who's going to get my shoes? And they're more concerned about things than they are about, where am I going after this?
Absolutely. There's a vast superstore near us, and we sometimes go in if trousers are wearing thin, or, you know, there are holes in the elbows of jackets. And there are about four floors to this place. And it has crockery, and it has paintings, and all types of things like that. And we go in, and there are people of our age and beyond, so they're sort of mid-60s to mid-70s to mid-80s, and most of them are just shambling around the four floors, staring vacantly at the things on display. Mm-hmm. And you see ladies and gents grabbing clothes as though their life depends on them, and scrutinizing them with these deep furrows in their brows. This is the most important thing to me in my life. And what we've done, of course, is transfer our lack of divinity, or missing the divinity that's within us, onto objects. And we've been encouraged to do this. More and more, any connection to spirituality is being discouraged. And it's not the car we need, it's not the holiday we need, it's not the bigger house that we need. It's the God within that we have rejected. That connection is what calls to us all the time, and we misinterpret it as, I need something more material to make me happy.
Right, instead of going within and making themselves happy. You know, I always tell people happiness is an inside job. You know, when you you start out chapter 14, just the name of it. You Unbound, builder of worlds, creator of universes. How have we fallen so far to forget that?
Yes, yes, yes. And the whole chapter concentrates on us actually not taking an outer journey at all, but taking an inner journey that we project outwards and believe that it is around us, when actually it's taking place inside us. And it's a joyous chapter because it talks about our capabilities and our potential as the spirit beings that we are. In that we create, initially we create our own world around us and within us, whether that be positive or negative. But actually we go on into infinity to actually create worlds in conjunction with, in harmony with other creative souls who have a unity of purpose. In other words, we might want to create a specific world with the purpose of teaching people more about love, or teaching more people more about art, or by creating a world whereby interaction across that world, the souls who visit that world can learn specific things that will enhance their spiritual journey and evolve them as spirits to make them even more creative. So we create worlds. And then, of course, Joseph goes on to say that we don't only create worlds, but eventually joining together, we create solar systems, we create galaxies, and we create universes. Each of us is the potential of God individualized, the potential of God, each of us. Mm-hmm. And yet, here we are thinking, I think I need that cushion. I like that color.
Right, right. And there's nothing wrong with furnishing your nest to the way you like it, to be comfortable. But not if your possessions mean more to you than your life. I mean, like, you know,
we have to realization. Right. They are ours on loan. You know, I've got nice things in this house, but they are mine on loan. They're not mine forever.
Right.
And one day I've got to turn my back on them, and I've got to walk out of here and into a completely different reality. And I can't be thinking, oh, I wish I could bring that with me. I wish I could bring the other with me. Mm-hmm. The only things I will take with me are my experiences whilst I've been here. And then those experiences will be evaluated by me as to whether they've been effective in allowing me to refine my vibration and move on into ever-refined realities.
Absolutely. You talk about, and I think it was from your book Revelation, the description you give of God, the dot within the circle. Can we talk a
yes.
little bit about that?
Yes, Joseph's description for God, he said, as an analogy to God and a symbol, an ancient symbol that we used on Earth to represent God, was the dot within the circle. In that the dot represents the core creative intelligence, loving intelligence of source of God, and radiating out from that central core are pulses of divine energy, and also facets of himself or herself or itself, however you wish to describe God, individualized as us, as sentient beings, sentient angelic beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we go outwards and outwards into physicality. We gain experience, and then we draw back to that central point and take our experience with us, and then we are sent out again on other journeys of further experience and creativity. So there is this constant sending out of energy and drawing in of energy from the God center, the dot within the circle. And Joseph, I think, in that chapter also says that we are the dot within the circle as well, in that we have a core energy expression that is us, or us pushing against the energies around us, and then we build around that core our experiences and believe the outside world is impinging on us when there isn't really an outside world. There's just a stage set against which we can have the experiences that are contained within that circle of energy that we call the aura.
Right. Well, you know, I thought when I was rereading it, I thought as a teacher of the medicine wheel, well, the medicine wheel is a circle, okay?
Yes.
It's a circle, and of course the big dot in the middle is the one that represents the creator. And this is probably why I reacted so strongly to it when I learned about it and first saw it, you know, back in the 80s. And here, you know, where I live, I have two big medicine wheels on my property, and a lot of times it'll get people asking me questions, and I tell them what it represents, that it represents all creation and our part in it and everything else that goes into it. And last week, I was very happy. We had a small herd of elk come through my property, and one of them spent quite some time inside that medicine wheel. So even animals know the dot within the circle.
Yes.
And just so my listeners know, I got a really good picture of it. So if you go to my consultation page and scroll down, you'll see the elk in the middle of my medicine wheel. So for me, I saw that as a blessing. Okay, I have to tell you, I was like super excited. Because I believe that even the animal kingdom knows when humans are doing something sacred and doing something right.
Yes, yes. And God, Joseph describes life's journey as a circle. He says, life is not linear, it's a circle. You start out at one point in an arc of energy, a circular arc of energy, and you come back to the same point and then you depart this life. Mm-hmm. It's not a straight line, it's a circle. God is expressed in circular motion. And if you want to look at us, if we decide that we don't want to appear as human once we have reached a certain point in the spiritual spheres, we can, if we wish, appear as a ball of energy. Mm-hmm. Again, the circle. And the circle repeats throughout creation. We're living on a circle now. We're living on a planet.
Absolutely.
We have a planet that's in circular motion again, around another circle. And if we look at things at molecular level, you see the same pattern. You see energetic particles circling other energetic particles. They're the building blocks of the physical and the spiritual universe.
Well said. Michael, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. Michael and I will be right back. If you're on your spiritual journey, either as a beginner or a longtime trekker, why not find out what's next for you? And not just here in this life, but after you leave this world. I find that many people are interested in who they were in past lives, but I've always preferred showing people what awaits them in their next life, your future self. Spiritual guidance is important as we move through this reality. Sometimes it's really hard to stay in balance here. Simple guidance and simple spiritual tools will help you make the path a whole lot smoother. So set up a consultation with me today at maria.net, and let's look forward together. And now back to the show. Welcome back to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael. And Michael's informed me of something quite exciting, the World Meditation Alliance. Some of you I know are familiar with this because you've written to me about it. Talk a little bit about this, Michael.
Well, I think it all began a couple of years ago when I suggested on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays via Facebook that it would be a good idea if we could get together, as many of us as possible, for 15-minute slots throughout the day to send light into our troubled world. Now, I then got together with Tony and myself, a fellow member of the Band of Light, got together and thought it would be an excellent idea if we expanded this and looked at the results of meditation, group meditation, on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's the Maharishi effect, isn't there, from the, was it the 70s?
Right.
Where thousands of people meditated outside a city and crime went down and illness went down and people got along with each other better.
Right.
And we thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get thousands of people meditating at the same time for the same reason, which is to bring light into the world. That was then qualified by the Persian gentleman, who on a monthly basis brings through via myself what he calls an angelic intention. And that refers to the original intent for the earth, in that the earth and all planets as they originally were, and are, apart from the earth it seems, receive pulses of energy from groups of angelic beings that allow certain circumstances to take place, certain things to come to the surface in people's minds, certain aspects of life to be considered at certain times. And so every month to 6 weeks, we are given a further angelic intention by PG. And these intentions are concentrated on during the meditations, with the meditators acting as conduits and simply giving of themselves as one to allow the light energies to come through them and into the earth and to affect all life and all situations here. And we have two groups at the moment. There is one in the UK that meets on by Zoom and in person every Friday afternoon at 1:15 p.m. And there is a US group as well that meets on Monday evenings. Now, I'm not quite sure of the time at the moment because I think the time's just changed, hasn't it? Gone back to
summertime,
something like that.
Right.
But I've sent you an email, Maria, and anyone who wishes to take part or receive details can do so simply by emailing us with their email, and we'll get back to them.
Right, and that is for people listening, and I'll, of course, write it out in today's blurb. contact@worldmeditationalliance.org. So this is another thing that people can do, which, of course, when you're meditating, it takes you out of this reality for a while, which is also beneficial for you. But also beneficial for your intentions that you're putting out there. So again, I just want to repeat that, Michael. contact@worldmeditationalliance.org.
Joseph says, each of us is equally powerful when we bring in the light. We're equally powerful. You don't have to have a title that somebody has given you on earth in order to be powerful as a spiritual being. And we are all equally powerful as spiritual beings. And as we join together, it's like having more batteries to create an energy source. The more batteries you have, the greater the energy that is available. And Tony takes the one in the UK, and Mark takes the one in the US. And these are lovely, uplifting experiences and a chance for us to raise ourselves on a weekly basis out of the doldrums and to say, well, today I did something for the earth. Today I loved every life here. Today I loved away every negative situation here. Today I fulfilled my purpose as a spirit and contributed to a change of the status quo back to a spiritual perspective.
Well, it sounds great. Now, you also talk about a person's aura. You know, here in the States, people see it as amusement to go and get their picture done, their aura, you know, through, I think it's Kirlian photography. And what I try to tell people is you could take a picture, but your aura is changing all the time. One interesting fact that you wrote in this book is that our aura that we have right now, which is basically the energy field that supports us, not only carries all our experiences from this life, but from all our past lives too. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. It's like the ultimate hard drive. We need those experiences as part of us to make us what we are at any given moment. We are the sum of our experiences. And our experiences are the gateway to certain vibrational realities. In other words, if our experiences are basic and are unspiritual, then they will only gain us access to similar basic unspiritual realities. As we raise our vibration through spiritual knowledge and understanding and through giving and loving, those energies are raised within our aura, and that aura gains us admittance to successively more refined and etheric expressions of reality and creativity. So that the aura is a record of everything that we have done since we became individualized, which again in itself is an illusion, but since we were given the illusion of individuality via the Godhead.
Right, but you also say that it also carries our experiences on all the other worlds that we've passed through.
Yes.
And I find that fascinating, because I would think that perhaps that's where a lot of what we get in our dreams is coming from.
Yeah. And it's amazing to understand, and we haven't access to that knowledge at this point, that we have existed for a long, long time, and that the Earth may not have been our primary port of call. And so we have experiences that have taken place on different worlds in order for different aspects of ourselves to be examined and raised before we got to this one. But of course we've cut ourselves off from that knowledge because of the fall, and we've become locked into visiting and revisiting this particular planet.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because people that have been working their spiritual program tap into that all the time. And for them, it's very natural. It's very easy. You know, I'm thinking about, and I hope he's listening, I'm thinking about a client and of mine who is also a subscriber. His name is John, and he's a painter. And I can tell you that his paintings are not from this world. And he knows that he's intuitively knows that he's bringing in objects and visions from other worlds. He's not afraid of it. He welcomes it. And his work is just beautiful. So there are people that have worked their spiritual program that can bring that into this lifetime, that can bring things from other worlds or other memories into this lifetime. But it takes work. You know, it takes a little practice. It takes work. People that do are much happier than people just living this flat, three-dimensional life.
And that's the theme tonight, I think, Maria, isn't it? That to sort of expand our senses and tell the listeners, make them aware that they are capable of expanding their senses. And that this life that at the moment seems so precious, and it is precious as an individual existence, but seems so precious in that all else should be excluded, is just a tiny piece of the jigsaw puzzle, just a tiny part of our infinite journey. And we are capable of so much more than this tunnel-visioned life that we're living at the moment, if only we will take the time to connect to our greater selves, to reconnect to divinity, and to allow those experiences to reveal themselves during our quiet and meditative times.
Mm-hmm. And allow yourself to be, regardless of what you think other people will think of you.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the hardest things, you know, is people hold themselves back because they're afraid. You know, what will people say of me? What will they think of me? I don't know if I can remember that far back, but when I left the corporate world like you did and switched my life completely into becoming an artist and studying the tarot and doing reads and teaching the medicine wheel, I may have had that thought at one point, what will people think of me? Actually, I think my husband was bothered more by what would people think than I was. And then, believe it or not, I had taken a trip to Italy, and I met some people there through some friends, and I was in France as well at the same time on the trip, and I remember when I was introduced as an artist and a psychic, they were delighted. These were total strangers to me, who were delighted. So it was interesting to see the difference in how people in France and Italy thought of me. I was probably in my 30s then, compared to in America where, oh, you're an artist, that means you're never going to make a living. Oh, you're a psychic,
yes,
that's just crazy stuff.
Yes.
But you know what? I was treated like royalty, and I had a great time. And I'm happy to be me, you know. And people listening, you know, are you happy to be you? And if you're not, you need to work on that.
Yes, and part of the chapter we've been looking at tonight says that there are no bad experiences. There are experiences that help you to grow. And some of them may seem to be bad to you and rooted in a bad section of the past for you, and some seem to be good. But you can send love to those negative ones, seemingly negative ones. They're not actually negative at all. Mm-hmm. And they will lessen in your consciousness. They will find their correct place in your consciousness and be recognized as something that has allowed you to grow. We've all done stupid things, we've all done good things, we've all done bad things. And both the seemingly good and the seemingly bad have brought us to this point. We wouldn't have got to this point in our lives without every single one of those experiences. Mm-hmm. But as Joseph says, they're still in our energy field. And if they're affecting us badly, we simply can not confront them, but bring them out into plain sight in our minds and send love and light to them and thank them. And it will transmute them, and we will see them as they should be viewed, as part of the essential experience that has brought us to the point that we're at now.
Right. You know, it's interesting because I was watching a series on Amazon Prime. I forget the name of it offhand, but the premise is people choosing to leave their physical body and have their consciousness put into some kind of an AI system, where they can go into any kind of world or place that they want and create it. It's very interesting and certainly curious the way they do it. It's very entertaining. But basically, when we leave this planet, we have the option to do exactly the same thing, just create our world the way we want it.
Yes, and we do. We will have fashioned a place for ourselves initially that is the result of the way that we've lived our lives during our time on Earth. And that's not a judgment, as we've often said. It's not a judgment. It's simply because we can only resonate with the vibrations that are similar, the same, to the vibrations that we give out at the point of our passing over, which is why it's so important that we examine our spirituality. If we are locked into this earth to the extent that we believe this is the be-all and end-all, and this is all that's important, then we don't get very far when we cross that bridge into higher realities, because we haven't acknowledged or examined or absorbed any higher vibrations. We're operating at a frequency that brings us to a similar frequency. So it's better that the work we do in ourselves is done here rather than done on the other side, when we find ourselves very limited in what we're capable of doing because of the way that we've locked ourselves into materiality and believe that this is all there is.
Exactly. I just had to inform one of my clients this morning, because she has a very strong attachment to her house, which she's losing in a divorce, about Buddha's law of non-attachment.
Yes.
And I said, if you continue to stay this attached, you know, you're going to make yourself physically sick. So people have to realize everything in this life is transient. You know, you can't take it with you. I think I told you that once before with my mother, the Sicilian. You know, she used to collect all this fancy crystal and fancy silverware and whatnot, but it always stayed in the china cabinet, okay? She never used it because it was too precious to her. And I remember telling my mother, Ma, but when are you going to use this stuff? You can't put it in the box with you. But I don't know that she ever, you know, got that concept. You know, having something nice and not using it is just never made any sense to me. And by the way, I wanted to let my listeners know, and you too, Michael, in case you can get it, the show I'm talking about is called Reboot, and it's in its second season now. I find it very fascinating, because some of it looks like it could be something they have in store for us, taking our consciousness and sticking it into this make-believe world. But it also shows how our consciousness moves about in this one. You know, if you really look at it and think, besides the fact it's very entertaining, that's basically what we do when we're here. None of this is real. You know, people know, you know, have a hard time understanding that everything here is an illusion. And we just kind of propel our consciousness into here for, as you said, you know, a short while. and then we get the hell out of here and hopefully never come back. I can't tell you how many people I just keep saying, never come back, never come back. Because
as proof of what you just said, I posted on Facebook a couple of days ago, the fact that I try and go for a mile walk every day to keep the old bones supple, you know. And during this particular walk, I was talking to divinity within myself. I was having a conversation. And I was also concentrating on the things that I needed to do, the spiritual tasks that I needed to do. The Facebook posts, what I was going to write in the next week, something that I need to write for a new website that we're creating. And I suddenly realized I was back at my own front door. And the walk hadn't existed at all. Because I'd switched off the external world and I'd concentrated instead on the internal world. And I was aware that I had moved myself out of the illusion for the period of that walk. There was no consciousness of having been on the walk whatsoever. Huh. But I had communed with the divinity within and decided what I would write. So we're always in two worlds, but it's our choice. Do we observe the outer world all the time? Or do we switch to the inner world at some stage each day for inspiration and guidance and illumination and upliftment from that true world that's within us?
Absolutely. Well, I don't know about you, but I can't wait till I can create as many worlds as I want, and they won't be anything like this one.
No, they won't. No.
nothing like this one. I think about that movie... God, what was it called with Robin Williams, What Dreams May Come? And just the artwork alone in the world he creates, his heaven that he creates, was amazing.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, I'd like to create a world like that with nothing but puppies running around.
Yes.
You know, we have imagination, but unfortunately here in this negative field, we tend to imagine the worst.
Yeah, we're fed by the field, and as you say, we imagine the worst, and then we strengthen the field. It's a vicious circle. We've been talking about circles. It's a vicious circle.
Mm.
We're fed by the field. We believe what the field is telling us, and we strengthen the field. The key is to believe what our heart is telling us, what our heart reveals to us, not what our head mind reveals to us, and to drain the field of the negativity by placing positivity into it, by placing light into it.
Mm.
Light energy emanates from the source, and it's light energy that each of us needs to exist, to express, to create, not the darkness that is shrouding the earth at the moment. We have to dispel that darkness, and it will never be dispelled by the governments. It will never be dispelled by those who suppose they're in power. It will be dispelled by you and I, by each one of us, remembering that we're spirits and remembering that we have access to the God within and remembering that we can change things by bringing through higher vibrational energies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the way we look at life matters.
Yes, indeed.
So, you know, I remember Sunbury used to say, if your alarm clock wakes you up in the morning and the first thing you do is curse the day and having to get out of bed, how could you possibly have a good day? And he suggested people say, you know, when you wake up, thank you, Great Spirit, I'm alive, I'm well, I'm happy, and then get about your day.
Yes.
So it does change. You can change your attitude and you can feel for what's going on in the world, but you don't have to be attached to it.
Absolutely. And to visualize the world that you want and to visualize the life that you want and to see it as being true and to say away with anything else, that's a lie.
Right.
My true vision of myself is within myself and I'm creating it and attracting it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can take that away from you, that power. And you can prove to yourself step by step that you are a creative being. And that what you concentrate on subsequently manifests around you exactly as you expect it to.
Exactly. So I always tell people, raise your expectations.
Yeah.
That's always Absolutely. A good thing. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And
there's always Marie.
Always looking forward to our next chit chat, that's for sure. So you stay good, you stay safe, and my love to your whole group there, and we'll talk again.
And much love from us to you. Take good care of yourself.
You too. Bye.
Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye. Michael Rickey, Joseph Speaks. I have a link to his site here. And again, I don't want to sound too repetitive, but in case you have a short memory span, that's contact@worldmeditationalliance.org. And again, you can be in this world, but you don't have to be part of it. You don't have to drive yourself crazy with what's going on around you. You can just do the realizations that we talked about today. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.